Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time with us, we are glad that you are here this second Sunday of Easter. Yes, Easter's not over yet. So the celebration of the resurrection continues. And if you have any questions about our worship this morning, our fellowship, mission, and education opportunities, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there'll be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive your questions. We have quite a few announcements this morning. First, this is always such a fun thing to do. If you are the owner of a green Lincoln Town Car, I've never made this kind of announcement. It's very fun. And I'm very serious. A green Lincoln Town Car with the license plate DHV7219. Yes, your lights are on. All right, and we have quite the best. See, your lights are on. Thank you. And we have other announcements this morning. We'll get started. Keisha, go right ahead.
Good morning. I'd like to remind senior highs that we have youth group tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to go bowling, so bring a couple of bucks just to cover your shoes. Otherwise, everything else is covered. Thank you.
Senior highs and junior highs. Mission Madness is in 2 weeks. Mission Madness is a presbytery-wide mission work day for the youth of the presbytery. They meet here at the church in the morning, go out in small groups and work at a site for about 3 hours, then come back here for lunch. So deadline is actually tomorrow. So see me today if you haven't signed up yet because we need to organize drivers. Thanks.
And if you're in the confirmation class, don't forget that Mission Madness is required. So make sure you have those permission slips brought in. And we keep on mission. Al, go ahead.
Well, we put the sign up for St. Joseph's up early because Easter came along and we thought people would be busy and doing all their Easter-type stuff. So in true Presbyterian fashion, it's not full yet because we haven't gotten to the last minute. The last minute is Friday. We're going to prepare the meal Friday night and serve it on Saturday. So if you go out and look at the kiosk, there's still some items open for food donations and servers. Thanks.
Peter. Good morning. Ever wonder how some bananas and tomatoes, I love to say that, taste better than others? Chances are you've tasted organic food. I wonder what it takes to be classified organic or what you could do to have your own organic part of your garden. Come to Adult Ed the second hour, 11:15, and find out. Thanks.
Thank you. Janice.
I know many of you don't have computers. And for those people, if you read their newsletters, if you read the bulletin boards, you'll find out about what's happening around town, around the church, around the presbytery. If you have computers, I wonder how many of you have actually visited the church's website. There's lots of information on there. I wonder if you realize the presbytery has a website. There's also a lot of information there. They also produce what they call e-news. This can be printed out, downloaded and printed out. I have actually printed a few copies and left them out on the table in the narthex and printed, pinned on the board, the bulletin board. If you haven't read or seen any of those things, then you probably don't know about the coming Westside Presbyterian Women's Dinner. April 26th. At 6 p.m., it's a dinner and a show. Reverend Colin Pritchard from Victor Presbyterian will be here performing. He's an excellent musician. He writes his own music, and he speaks in between about his faith. One of the things it says on his website, in place between praise music and hymns, There are some songs that celebrate the honest joys and struggles of the life of faith. He's very entertaining, and you shouldn't miss that. If you'd like to sign up, you can sign up with me today, or you can call me or email me, and the information is on the poster. There's another offering from Presbytery, and that is a one-day bus trip to General Assembly. We're hoping to get enough people to fill a bus. I also have the information on that if you're interested. It's June 30th to July 1st. We'll be leaving early in the morning and getting back very early in the morning, but it's, you know, just an exciting trip to go see the worship service and the beginning of the election of the moderator.
Thank you, Janice, for all of those great ways that we can be Presbyterian together through the life of this congregation, the Presbytery, and also the National Church. Friends, now let us gather our hearts, our minds, our entire beings to worship our holy God.
Please stand if able and join me for the call to worship. Where is this Jesus, the one you call Messiah?
Christ is risen. Christ is here among us.
I do not see him. I don't believe you.
Christ is risen. Christ is here among us.
Let me see his body, his hands, his feet.
We are Christ's body. We are Christ's feet.
You see the suffering in the world? Where is Jesus now?
We are going into the world to be the body of Christ.
Let us go together. Let us partner with others.
For we are the body of Christ. Let us share the good news.
Come before God with our Easter praises and alleluias, and that we still recognize within each of ourselves as individuals and a community, there is brokenness and there is hurting. Let us bring that darkness before God. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, we confess our doubts. When our childhood understandings fall away, we feel naked. When our long-held beliefs seem to crumble, we feel lost. When our convictions are questioned, we feel ashamed. Guide us into right paths, O God. Guide our feet into the way of peace.
Guide our hands to care for others. Guide our hearts to love our neighbors. Call us back to you, O Christ, and renew our faith. When the ground is unsteady, loving God, put us back on the right paths by doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with you. Amen. The Lord is our chosen portion and our cup. God binds us in, counsels our minds, and instructs our hearts. God helps us to stand firm for justice, mercy, and peace. When we fall, God lifts us up, forgives us, and remembers our sins no more. Alleluia. Amen. At this time, the children are invited forward. Good morning. You guys are really far away. Come closer. I think I took a shower this morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Easter. Good morning. Today is the second Sunday of Easter, and we have a very special way that we are going to celebrate this morning, with a baptism. If you guys remember, those waters of baptism are the waters God uses to show us God's promises of love and grace for all of us, that the good news of Easter and those promises are for each and every one of you, and all these people in here, and all the people of the whole world, the good news of Easter. So you guys have front row seat for it, okay? So you guys sit here, I'm going to go over there, and let's celebrate Easter with a baptism, okay? All right, you guys stay right there. All right, you guys stay right there too. I'm going to invite Miss Bailey Adams, daughter of Amanda and Kyle. And this is a wonderful moment. We have four generations of women in this church together. And so for all the family that is invited to come and stand with us here, we hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. And so, obeying the words of our Lord Jesus and confident in these promises, we baptize those whom God has called. And in baptism, God claims us, seals us to show us all that we belong to God. And God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church and the body of Christ. And we are joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. So let us all remember on this second Sunday of Easter with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Bailey, daughter of Kyle and Amanda Adams, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Kyle and Amanda, do you desire for Bailey to be baptized? And relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child? Do you?
Do you, as the members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Bailey by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and to be faithful member of this church? If so, please say we do.
Kyle and Amanda, in presenting Bailey for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within this covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize, by answering the following questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust in him? And do you intend for Bailey to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love? Do you? Let us pray. God, our holy parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we may say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. All right. What is your child's name?
Bailey. Hi, Bailey.
Hi. There we go. Bailey Adams, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. You are a beautiful child of God, and you have a great family of faith that is going to teach you and love you well. Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of life, you have promised your love to each one of us. And we pray for little Bailey, that she will grow to know you, to have the courage to follow in your steps, and to experience the forgiveness and grace you reveal to each one of us through this community. God, be with her parents as they help her to grow. Give them patience and understanding. And for all the generations that surround her this day, O God, indeed, great saints and witnesses to faith in you. Amen. This is Bailey, a child of God. And as we say in my house, she is now your God cousin, related to each one of you. Let us stand and sing together, celebrating this love.
Thank you.
Amen. All right, so you guys have got the promises down. God loves us and we keep showing that love. You ready to go to Sunday school and learn more about it? Yes! You guys have fun.
The first reading this morning is from 1 John, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
Before anyone starts to get worried that I forget the choir after I read the scripture verse, I haven't forgotten. They're going to sing after the sermon, so you can relax. Put your bulletins down. Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. When it was evening, on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, and he stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands and put my fingers in the mark of the nails on my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. You bet they were afraid. The disciples? Jesus was supposed to be dead. And if he's dead and in a tomb, it all makes sense. Here we had this great, wonderful, amazing man, a true teacher and leader. Someone who showed us another way to live by loving others, just the way God created us to. But it became painfully obvious through his entire life that the way Jesus went about teaching and preaching in a way that empowered the poor and powerless was eventually going to upset the religious and political institutions that sought to preserve social hierarchy and wealth. Jesus even told us it was going to lead to his death. So we can logically process all that we know and what happened to him if he would have just stayed in the tomb. And so it shouldn't come as any surprise that the disciples are afraid. They're afraid of what it's going to mean for their lives to live in a world where there is a power that breaks all the rules. It's a power they couldn't explain, control, or understand. It's really no wonder they locked the door. The Greek word describing the doors of the room where the disciples were is often translated as shut or locked, but the word itself has a few meanings. It can also mean to close off or to withhold compassion from others. It can also mean to obstruct the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. I wonder what meaning John had in mind when he wrote this gospel. I bet he used that word very deliberately to include all of these different meanings to describe the disciples' reaction of fear in this second resurrection appearance. This feeling of fear and wanting to stay behind closed and locked doors is a chronic temptation of the church in our resurrection experiences. One commentator notes that in the experience of the Western church, since the advent of the modern world, Enlightenment pressures have conspired with this perennial temptation to place the church squarely behind the closed doors of the private and personal domain. Behind this door are found the personal, spiritual, familial dilemmas that occupy humans in their private existence. And then on the other side of the door stand the public and social worlds that occupy humans when they venture from home. Beyond that door are found the economic, political, and civic realities that occupy most people of their waking hours. Here, the gospel's promise is scarcely acknowledged, or if glimpsed, is deemed out of place. On the one hand, I find this observation
to be pretty spot on. Yet on the other, it seems a little ridiculous to argue that the 21st century American religious experience is only found behind closed doors, given the current political climate. Have you turned on the TV lately? Picked up a newspaper? Maybe read over a blog just the last week and followed what's happening in politics today? We have the Republican base made up of evangelical Protestants who believe that religion must consume and influence every aspect of public life. And for whatever reason, this seems to include private life becoming public as more time is spent obsessing about other people's sex lives and who is entitled to civic marriage and who should or shouldn't be paying for contraception. But the other side of the party line doesn't exactly close the door on the separation of religion and politics either. As recently, President Obama invoked Jesus to defend his plan for universal health care. On the cover of Newsweek magazine last week, author Andrew Sullivan said that the ability to be faithful in a religious space and reasonable in a political one has atrophied before our eyes. Unfortunately, or fortunately, this doesn't mean that there are more people flocking to the doors of Christianity. In fact, it has meant quite the opposite. Sullivan continues in his article to say, "Christianity has been destroyed by politics, priests, and get-rich evangelicals. Now, even though GPC is a healthy and vibrant church, it really is difficult to ignore the fact that American Christianity has become, in the eyes of many, hypocritical and irrelevant. None of us would at all be surprised if tomorrow you're talking with a friend or a coworker, and they say, "So what'd you do yesterday?" And you said, "I went to church." And their response is, "Wasn't Easter last weekend?" Despite the culture of politicized faith in our nation, there are plenty of 21st century Christian communities that can still be found behind locked doors. Perhaps it's because even some of the healthiest churches succumb to the fear of being associated with the absurdities of mainstream political and religious rhetoric. Therefore, we respond by withdrawing behind our own version of these closed and locked doors, distracting each other with the busyness of being church. And so practicing our faith becomes all about getting in and out of worship in 1 hour, creating entertaining educational experiences for our youth, checking off to-do items at meetings, and measuring success based on balanced budgets and increasing membership roles. The trouble is, that just isn't enough for most of us. Practicing our faith in this way isn't enough, because on the other side of that door is a world in which it is insanely difficult to believe that the resurrection made any
difference. On the other side of that door, a mother intentionally set fire to her home, killing her four children. On the other side of that door, a 17-year-old black youth was killed by a neighborhood vigilante whose act was, until just this week, backed by the lack of prosecution and defense that Florida law justifies shooting in response to any perceived threat of violence. On the other side of that door, people's homes and lives have been destroyed by earthquakes, storms, and tornadoes. Practicing our faith behind closed doors isn't enough. Because when faced with the reality of this world, we need a faith that makes good on those baptismal promises to guide and nurture by word and deed with love and prayer. To be followers of the risen Lord. Preacher Tony Campolo tells his story, one that we've heard all too often lately, of what this means. He says that when I was in high school, there was a kid who was gay. We made fun of him. You would say we bullied him, but we didn't push or hit him. We just made fun of him. Well, we did bully him. Friday afternoons, we had phys ed, and when we'd all go into the showers, he was afraid to go. And when he did go in all by himself, we waited with our wet towels, and when he came out, we whipped him with our towels and stung his naked body. I wasn't there the Friday when they grabbed little Roger and dragged him into the shower room and shoved him into the corner. And as he doubled over in the fetal position, five guys urinated all over him. We went home, and he went to bed at about 10, his parents said. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning when he got up and went into the basement, and he hung himself. It was at this point I knew I wasn't a Christian. Oh, I believed the Bible. I believed the Apostles' Creed, word for word. I was sound, I was solid, I was orthodox. But if I were a Christian, I would have been Roger's friend. We need a faith that encourages us in word and in deed, with prayer and love, to be friends with Roger. It is a strong and sometimes foolish faith to consider what it means for our lives to live in a world where there is a power that breaks all the rules and breaks through all of our closed doors. The resurrected Christ immediately addressed the fears of the disciples by saying, "Peace. Peace be with you." And he immediately addressed their inward focusing tendencies, saying, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." In his Newsweek article, Sullivan is right. A Christian cannot find salvation by fighting political battles, winning a few news cycles, or funding an anti-abortion super PAC. It comes every time the risen Christ busts through the locked doors of our fear and calls us out into the world, revealing a faith that Jesus was more than just this great, wonderful man who was killed for teaching what he believed. Everything is different now, because Jesus doesn't let the closed doors of evil, suffering, death, or fear have the final word. He's not dead. He is risen. And he calls us all beyond the doors to live lives of faith where the resurrection really happened. And nothing will ever be the same. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we continue our celebration of the resurrection, we bring in community those prayers of joy and concern that we have this morning. If you have any and would like to share them, raise your hand so one of the ushers can come by with the microphone.
Jim Poole, I'd like prayers for Father Ned Murphy, his family and friends. He's a very gentle, humble man that I had the opportunity to meet probably 6 years ago. And he died this last week of a massive heart attack. He ran a a home for homeless children in the Bronx in New York. To end on a high note, I would like prayers of thanks to everyone involved in the Maundy Thursday and Good Friday sermons. I've heard this story for many, many years, but it never impacted me like it did on those two nights. I knew the end of the story, but I couldn't wait to get here Sunday to follow up on it. So thank everybody very much.
Amen. Kathy Wakeman, giving thanks this weekend. Our son is home for a couple days. And also, we'd like to ask for prayers because tomorrow he leaves for San Salvador for a research project for several weeks. So prayers for safe travels and good research.
Traveling mercies. Any others? One back there.
Lynn Schrammel, prayers for a friend, Sal, who has had two major cancer surgeries and is waiting for test results.
Anyone else?
Good morning. This is Jean Sclair, and I'm calling for you to have more prayers for Jack Hughes, as he's not doing very well at all. And please pray for his family. They're taking it quite bad. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Prayers for them.
Prayers for my grandma, Gwen Mantel. She fell Friday night and shattered her femur. And she went under surgery yesterday. And as of this morning, her eyes are open, so that's good. So just prayers for peace, and peace be with her.
I also have a prayer request for Louise Armstrong, the former interim pastor and also friend of GPC, whose mother passed away this week. And also prayers from our children, prayers from the third and fourth graders, prayers of joy for a friend who had a birthday, and continued prayers for Sarah. Prayers from the fifth grade class. Apparently, there's only a few of them today because they're praying that the rest of their class isn't sick. But they also know the reality of this, and they're praying for safe travel for those who are returning back today. And from the sixth graders, prayers for a music teacher's family because he passed away from cancer this week. We hold these prayers and lift them to God. Let us continue our time of prayer. Lord of dawn and darkness, how grateful we are for your loving mercies. You saw our fear and doubt, our suspicion and mistrust, and you banished them from our lives, replacing them with hope and peace, love and joy. You call us to be your witnesses to all the world, unafraid of what others might think or say about us. We have been invited out of our darkened hideaways into the light of your world to carry your hope and justice, peace and compassion. Be with us as we, as a community and as individuals, participate in ministries of healing and hope through this church, in our community, in our region, nation, and world. Give us courage and strength to be your disciples in all the circumstances of our lives. For this we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. And now let us continue our celebration by offering back to God in thanksgiving a portion of the abundance we have been blessed with. Let us worship with our morning offering.
Lord, we thank you for your many gifts, especially your son, Jesus. As you sent him, you send us to minister to the world. May these gifts be used to help us bring this ministry to our hurting world. In your name, amen.
As we go from this place to be Easter people, live the good news. We are not afraid. Jesus goes with us. The love of God goes with us. And the Holy Spirit gives us courage to keep on going. Amen.